right, welcome back to the final week in our series through Ezekiel chapter 37. We've been looking at the lessons we can learn in the valley. And the reason for that is the valley is real. Every one of us experiences low seasons, seasons of famine, seasons of drought, of anxiety and fear and suffering. We celebrate the peaks when we're at the mountaintops. But we dread the struggle in the valleys. So over the last few weeks, we've been taking our time walking slowly through Ezekiel chapter 37 and trying to see what it is that we can learn down here in the valley. So one more time, would you stand with me as we read together from Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by his spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were a great many of them on the surface of the valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I replied, "Lord God, only you know." And he said to me, "Prophesy concerning these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord God says to these bones. I will cause breath to enter you and you will live. I will put tendons on you, make flesh grow on you, and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you so that you come to life, and then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. While I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. As I looked, tendons appeared on them, flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the Lord God says. Breath, come from the four winds and breathe into these slain so that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me. The breath entered them and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Look how they say, 'Our bones are dried up and our hope has perished. We are cut off.' Therefore prophesy and say to them, 'This is what the Lord God says. I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them, my people, and lead you into the land of Israel. And you will know that I am the Lord, my people. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land, then you will know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the declaration of the Lord.'" Father, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive your word this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you be seated? It's always helpful when the Lord interprets the valley for you. Most of us, when we're walking through the valley, we want to know what it is that God is trying to say to us, what it is that God is trying to teach us. What do I need to learn so that I can get out of the valley? And a lot of times, and I say this regularly, a lot of times we can only see that clearly in the rear view. We can rarely see that in the moment. In this case, in God's exceeding kindness, he interprets the valley for us. These bones, he says, represent Israel. And Israel, in this circumstance, he says, look how they say. Think about what this says of Israel's experience. Look how they say, our bones are dried up. Listen to that language. Our hope has perished. We are cut off. They feel the weight, the pain, and the loss. Dead bones and dead hope. They're cut off from the land that God had promised. They're cut off from the place God had promised to dwell among them. They are cut off from God entirely. They have been carried into exile. And we said during the first week, we said, look, it's important when you're walking through the valley to acknowledge dry bones. We need to be willing and able and ready to identify what it is in our lives that feels dead. We need to confess that to Him. He knows our hearts. He knows what we need before we even tell Him. So why are we hiding our experience from Him in prayer? We need to confess to God when we feel like life is dead and hopeless. Here in verse 11, we see that Israel has done that very thing in exile, removed from the land, removed from the temple. They have cried out, our bones are dried up, and our hope has perished. We are cut off. If you read those words, can I just ask, like, can you feel their anguish in those words? Can you sense the depth of loss that they're experiencing? Maybe can you relate at all to that? Anybody? Maybe you've laid in a hospital bed. Or sat at the bedside of a loved one who was. You can relate to this. Maybe it was that phone call in the middle of the night. Or a meeting with HR. The truth is that most of us have come to a moment. We've come to a crisis of faith at some point in our lives. And we can relate to Israel here. But I want you to see the kindness of the Lord here in verse 12. Take a look again. In verse 11, it says, look how they say. Look how they say. Verse 12, God says, therefore. Now, therefore is the Bible's way of saying, because of that, this, right? Because of that, because they say, therefore I say. So because Israel feels lifeless, because Israel feels hopeless, and because Israel feels cut off from God's presence, God tells Ezekiel to prophesy and say to them, what? This is what the Lord God says. Do you see that? They say, right? But I say. You see, Israel sees only this valley. But the Lord sees His whole plan. And because of that, God gets the final say. You see, the valley has a way of preaching to us, right? The valley has a way of preaching to us when life gets hard, when prayers feel like they're not being answered, when hope feels thin, the valley starts to tell us what everything means. And the valley says things like, this is the end. The valley says things like, nothing is ever going to change. The valley says things like, God must be distant. And if we're not careful, what happens is we start repeating what the valley says like it's telling the truth. But the valley doesn't get the final interpretation. God does. And when God speaks, his word settles it. So if you're taking notes, I just want to encourage you to write this down. God has the final word. God has the final word. In the valley, we say a lot of things. Some of them you can say in church. That's a joke. I know it's early, right? In the valley, we say a lot of things, but God has the final word. No one laughed at my joke, and I will forgive you. Israel said it's hopeless. God says, I am your hope. Israel says, we're cut off. God says, I'll never let go. Israel says, it's over. God says, I'm not finished. He says, look at what he says. He says, I am going to open your graves. Now, can we just be honest for a moment? If ever there were a time for us to feel like, okay, this situation is closed, the book is closed, this is no longer going to change, it would be, oh, I don't know, when there's dirt on top of the coffin, right? Nod with me. You people are way too asleep. God says, I am going to open your graves and I'm going to bring you up from them. And we said last week that there's a sweet assurance in that verse, because he says, I'm going to bring you up from them, my people. And he says it twice. My people. Listen, I'm just going to encourage you once again to underline that, highlight that, circle that, do something so that it stands out to you there. God is calling them in their circumstance. He is not calling them at the best versions of them. He is not calling the restored versions of them his own. He is looking at dead, dry bones. He is looking at the most hopeless thing in the valley and saying, my people. He has not forgotten them. He has not abandoned them. He has not cut them off. They are his. What they're going through doesn't change who they belong to. There's a message in that statement for somebody in this room. Exile doesn't change it. Their suffering doesn't erase it. Even their discipline from the Lord doesn't cancel whose they are. They may feel cut off, but God still calls them my people. And that tells us something about the heart of God. You see, even when his people are scattered, even when they're broken, even when they feel far from them, he still claims them as his own. And he's going to lead them back into the land he had promised them. So the next time you feel like you're in the bottom of the valley, the next time you feel like all hope is lost, the next time you struggle to pray with hope, remember that God never takes you to the valley to leave you there. He's not done. He's not finished. He has the final word. And listen, this is more, this is about far more than just ancient Israel. Can we all see that? Can we all see that this is about more than Israel in its exile? For sure, it's about Israel in its exile. When God interprets a passage and says, these bones are my people, Israel, the whole house of Israel, we at least need to go, yes, sir, right? But it's about more than just the people of Israel, because this is evidence of who God is. This is evidence of his character. This is about evidence of his power. This is about the God who brings dead things to life. And yet, I can't tell you how many times I've read passages of Scripture just like this, and I've been moved by God's power, and I've been moved by God's promise. And then I close the book, and I walk away discouraged and distraught because of the difficulties I was facing in my life. We need to be honest. Listen, we need to be honest about the places in our lives or in our walks where things feel hopeless. And where things feel dead. And when the Lord gives us, through the power of his Holy Spirit, a direction or an action to take, we should be obedient, right? We've talked about this for the last several weeks. We should be obedient, even when it doesn't make sense. Because the same hope for the dry bones in this valley, that is our same hope here in San Antonio. The same God who overcomes hopelessness and brokenness and decay, that is the same God you and I call Father. And if God raises dead things to life, it's worth asking, exactly what is it that he can't do? And yet, again, how often do we live like the valley is more powerful than God? If my life has been redeemed by the blood of the crucified and risen Jesus, what excuse do I have to walk around overwhelmed and anxious? Honestly, because I forget. I forget his power. I forget his mercy. I forget his faithfulness. Forget his goodness, that this same God cares for me. So sometimes he has to take me to the valley. I don't want you to miss that. Go back to verse 1. There in verse 1, Ezekiel says, the hand of the Lord was on me. You see it? The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by his Spirit and set me down in the middle of the valley. Ezekiel didn't just like wander out into the valley on his own. This is not happenstance. This is not an accident. God put his hand on him and led Ezekiel by the Spirit and dropped him in the valley. But we need to be sure that we don't misunderstand this. He didn't do this as a punishment to Ezekiel. He didn't do it to hurt Ezekiel. He didn't do it to abandon Ezekiel there. No, God carried Ezekiel to the valley to remind him, and through him to remind all of Israel, and through them to remind every one of us of God's love and God's compassion and God's faithfulness. Sometimes he has to walk us to the valley because there are some things that we can only learn about God in the valley. On the mountain, hey, we celebrate his blessings, and that's the most fun time. But in the valley we discover his faithfulness. On the mountain we enjoy his provision, but in the valley we learn to depend on his presence. On the mountain we talk about trusting God, but in the valley trust becomes the only thing we have left, and it's often there in that very moment when everything else is stripped away that we finally begin to see who God really is. Because the valley reveals his character. Write that down. The valley reveals God's character. God says to Ezekiel, you will know that I am the Lord, my people, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my Spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land, and then you will know that I am the Lord. He's making a promise here. He's promising to move with power. He's promising to move with authority, and he's promising to do it right in front of their eyes so that they will see it and they will respond to it. So listen, do you feel like hope is gone? Do you feel like God may have abandoned you? Here's what God is saying in this moment. This is what I'm going to do. I am going to show you the truth. I am going to show you what is true. Not only is hope not gone, not only have I not abandoned you, I'm going to prove it. Do you feel dead and dry and withered? He says, I'm going to bring you up from your graves. This isn't a promise just to step in and help out a little bit. No, God promises to breathe the breath of life into their lungs, to put his Spirit in them and make them fully, completely, wholly, entirely alive. And he's going to bring them back from the brink and place them. Place them's not the right word. He's going to settle them. How many of you know the difference between being placed somewhere and being settled somewhere, being established somewhere? He's going to establish them in the land he had promised them. And once he's done that, he assures them, then you will know. Like that's what it's going to take. I'm going to prove, I'm going to do all this right in front of your face. You're going to see it and you're going to know my power. You're going to know that I am the Lord. What is it that he wants them to know about him? It's very simple. That when he speaks, he keeps his word. And that's the same truth he wants to comfort our hearts this morning. Again, write this down. It's the third thing. The Lord keeps his promise. I love those words that he closes verse 14 with. I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the declaration of the Lord. This is what I say. He gets the final word, and his word is true, and his word is truth. He puts his stamp upon it. He puts his seal on it. So when you're stuck down in the valley, when you feel hopeless, lifeless, and abandoned, listen, you can hold on. Not because you have strength left in you. No, you can hold on even when you don't. Not because you see God's plan in the midst of the valley, because most likely you can't. But you can hold on for this single reason. God keeps his promise. He's never failed. Not once. And he's not going to start now. Every promise he has made, he has kept. He kept his promise to Abraham. He kept his promise to Israel. At just the right time, he kept his promise and he sent his son, born of a virgin, in the town of Bethlehem. And if he has proven himself faithful again and again and again throughout all of history, we can trust him now that he will be faithful in the valley even as we're walking through it. So if he's carried you into the valley, rest assured. He has not brought you here to break you. He has not brought you here to harm you. He has brought you here to remind you of his goodness and ultimately to draw you even closer to himself. Do you remember what David says in Psalm 23? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. Right? You're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What is the rod and the staff? The rod and the staff are the tools of a shepherd to lead his sheep. The staff he uses to reach out, grab the sheep, and pull it back in line. You're wandering. Nope, back. The rod is what he uses when you won't move. I said, move! I didn't make it up. He's not brought you here to break you or to harm you. He's brought you here to remind you of his goodness and to draw you in closer than you were before. So as our time draws to a close this morning, let's ask ourselves, where do you feel like Israel felt? Where do you feel dried up? Where do you feel cut off? Where do you feel without hope? I just want to offer you the possibility that that may have been placed there for your good. Maybe the Lord desires not to leave you there, but to do something that leaves you on your knees before Him in surrender and in trust. Not in desperation. No. But maybe to do something that leaves you in awe. Something that leaves you in wonder in the presence of His glory. Then you will know that He is the Lord. He has spoken. And He will do it. Would you pray with me?